The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Yeah, naughty. Oh yeah, naughty, naughty time. Yeah, I'm Daniel Shine, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Radio, Franco in Prison. Ladies, I hope you're dripping with anticipation for what we have in store for you today. Oh yeah, I am Dan the Man, joined as always by Todd Loya and Pugs Dread.
Oh, so, you keep the voice while saying names?
All I gotta say is, one, are you pregnant too? And two,
I'm a stud.
Sir. Don't get all cocky because you had 1 4.5 hour session.
4.5 hour session. What are we talking about right now? Spell it out.
Your Viagra experience. Good for you, Dan.
Oh. Isn't 4 hours the point where you're supposed to get your dick drained?
Only if, you know what, that's, I'm doing it the fucking easy way. You call more prostitutes. Or you visit the playground. That's what I did.
Oh.
That doesn't work for him.
That is fucked up. No, I understand you have to actually have the blood drained from your dingus. I think it might be 4 or 5. I mean, it's going to have to be about 6 or 7, and there have to be some real fear of it falling off before I'm going to go and get my dick drained. But
yeah.
Okay. In joke. Okay, I see.
Dumbass.
That was even longer than that.
The man now. Do it in real life. Calm down, man.
So anyways, I hope I have not turned you guys on too much because we've got a lot
of. Or I hope you haven't turned it off.
That's my worry.
There you go. So I want to thank you all for being a Patreon supporter.
Thank you.
We very much appreciate it. Thank you for supporting the Flesh Wound Features Patreon page. And we're cranking out the content for you, much like Todd's been cranking out other things during this time of quarantine. So, doing what you got
to do. Becky.
She sat on Todd's couch and, you know, it happens. Anyways, it's like a wet sponge, man. Ladies got to be careful if you sit on Todd's couch.
Next time we get to a Squared Circle Society, I'm going to go on my man rant and how women shouldn't be champions if this bullshit is going to happen. But we'll get to that later.
Well, you support Patreon to hear these kinds of rants, so... they're not YouTube friendly. Yes. So I should start off by saying I am a Franco super fan. Jess Franco and Lena Romay, I should say. His second muse. I've just always had a fascination with the guy. He's made over 200 films. So needless to say, this will be the first of probably many different themed Franco shows coming over probably a long period of time because that's a lot to cover. That always just blew my mind, and there was so much to dive into, and I can't place exactly when I first became aware of him, but I know Vampiros Lesbos was probably an early watch for me, and one of the films we're going to be doing later tonight also was a fairly early watch. And I was like, oh, okay, I've got to see everything this guy's ever done. And, you know, from the late 50s to right up to when he died, this guy has touched every genre at one point or another. And say whatever you will about him, because I'm sure not everything will be positive on these shows. You can't deny the ability that it takes to do. I think 206 is the technical number, not even counting some unfinished stuff. So that is just amazing. And tonight we are going to be talking about a genre that he touched multiple times, and that is the women in prison subgenre. And we're going to kick it off with one that is very early in the game. Now, it's hard to... The women in prison genre, if you want to get technical, goes way back to even the 30s. It's a concept that just goes way, 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 way back. But when you think about a modern day women in prison picture, Franco was certainly one of the pioneers. And the first one we're going to talk about was one of the first. I think Love Camp 7 might predate it technically, but it's close. And this is certainly setting the stage. And I'll get into it more here in a moment. But, of course, from director Jess Franco, this film is 99 Women. For his epic shocker of caged women gone wild, legendary director Jess Franco brought together a once-in-a-lifetime cast of international beauties, including Maria Schnell, Luciana Paluzzi, Rosalba Neri, and Maria Rahm. And Oscar winner Mercedes Oscar winner Mercedes McCambridge and Herbert Loam co-star as the sadistic wardens of an island prison where abused yet luscious young lovelies surrender to their own depraved desires. Naughty. Behind bars, without women, without men, experience the unchained passion of 99 women. Long censored around the world, Blue Underground is proud to present the unrated director's cut of 99 Women in a brand new 4K restoration, along blah, 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 blah. Obviously, we're covering the Blue Underground Blu-ray, so just for reference there. All right, so this film was shot in 1968. Some people listed as 68, some listed as 69.
69.
Very 69. Naughty.
Dan, real quick, before we get any further, the hot blonde. I'm unfamiliar with all these people. I know you're supposed to be an expert on this. Who the hell's the hot blonde, and where can I get more of her?
That would be Maria Rahm, who was actually married to Harry Allen Towers, who produced what's kind of considered Franco's, I don't want to say high period, but in terms of budget, you know, he directed some of his more prestigious films.
Oh, you're talking about like, ooh, hi, right on. Well, she is a smoke show. Speaking of high and hottest one in the prison block.
She was. Well, Rosalba Neri, but we may have different tastes.
I was going to say different. Yes, thank you, Dad, for not just saying Pugs was wrong.
two different what types
you,
of.
What do you got girls. Against Arians, Dan? I thought you were all pro Arians.
Yeah, well,
just well, that's because I'm sure doesn't mean that I have to gravitate towards the blonde hair. I would definitely give the trophy to Rosalba Neri, who appeared in a lot of other second stuff, place, by the way. Right. She's not the household name that she should be. She was in a lot of really good stuff, some Paul Naschy stuff as well. And So yes, anyways, so this is a film that, again, very early in the modern women in prison subgenre. Now, I will say with Jess Franco, I find like a lot of people have seen maybe one or two of his films. I notice a lot of horror fans maybe saw Faceless. Whenever I have a conversation, they're like, oh, okay, I do remember that Carolyn Monroe flick that he did, I think in 87, I think it was. Or some have seen Barbed Wire Dolls or even his Ilsa film. But a lot just aren't really aware of that.
His what? His what film?
His Ilsa film, which is
not. Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that later.
We'll get to it. It's not, but we'll get to it. And
we're gonna have to cut some shit out again.
So this one, though, if you are familiar with the more sleazy Franco productions, You have to remember, this was shot in 68, so it is much lighter. But you can see the seeds being planted for what is to come within the genre, which is a vast, vast genre that, you know, even to this day occasionally. Maybe not as much now, unfortunately, but yes. So I would say for you jumping into Franco, this may not be the best point to jump in because you're going to have certain expectations that you may not get. Now, having said that, there's a lot to be offered here. For one, the lead villain played by Mercedes McCambridge. Do you know that name? I don't want to put you on the spot, but does that name ring a bell?
Nah.
Well, Mercedes McCambridge is very well known and kind of snubbed for The Exorcist. She played the voice and had to fight to get her.
Gotcha. Okay. The smoker.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. She had to fight to get her credit too on that movie, which
to be fair, she agreed to a non-credit role. She just saw how big it was getting.
Yeah.
Yes, but nonetheless, you got to give credit where credit's due. She really
not if you sign the contract.
Yeah, there's tons of famous people that aren't credited that agree to it or for other reasons. So yeah. That was her. Like. Because it got big.
Yeah, not to shit on her. I think she did a great job. But if you agree to it, and then you fucking...
Yeah, it was totally a gimmick. Like, oh, we're not going to say, you know, it was her.
Team freaking. Mm-hmm.
I get it. But I am happy that she got recognized, I guess.
Dan. You seem unsure.
She should be. She should be recognized. And I will say I have met somebody from this cast, and that is Luciana Paluzzi, who was also in The Green Slime. Very nice lady. I met her at Chiller years ago. The acting in here is really, really good. The general look, this was shot at Santa Barbara Castle, which is a location that he used several times, also on Devil's Island Lovers, which was a later women in prison flick. It was also used in Dracula, Prisoner of Frankenstein, and really adds the production value. He did, I believe, 9 movies over a couple years for Harry Allen Towers, and again, they were the sort of prestige films for Franco in a lot of ways, and it's quite amazing how this came about, because this was one of these films he really pulled a Corman and also showed why the man has made over 200 films, because he was shooting Girl from Rio right before this, and filming ended a week early. So they had already paid crew and whatnot, and he wrote this over a weekend, and they shot it. And shot it while prepping Justine at the same time. So you know, Justine.
With that knowledge, that's pretty fucking badass. I will high five. Wow. That's impressive.
It is very impressive. I mean, again, just being a guy who was a part of a few shitty indie, like small indie films, and what goes into making a movie, it's just it boggles my mind. So I probably should have done this at the start of the show, but since we are starting with an early film, do you guys have like Jess Franco? Like, when did you first sort of become aware of him, and are you a fan in general? And maybe Todd, I don't think you are, but Pugs, maybe you're new to it, so I'm kind of curious. Maybe you'll become one. Who knows?
I'm new for sure. I've heard the name, okay, but I've never really like searched it out. Like, it was never women in prison's not really my jam, but yeah. So I've always been familiar with the name. I just never sought it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it'll be interesting to get your take as we go through these movies, and maybe I'll ask you that again at the end of the review.
Because that's the one thing with Dan is, and I kind of talked to him like off air. I was like, some of these aren't good. So,
hey, it's not going to all be positive. I understand that, but what was the first for you, Todd? Or like, when did you start?
I want to say the first time I knew I was watching a Jess Franco film, I might have seen Barbed Wire Dolls already. Was Voodoo Passion. That's the first one I remember I'm watching a Jess Franco movie.
Okay, so you kind of – the Erwin Dietrich years then, of course, we'll get into. And that will – or that name will be a theme with some of our other reviews. But yes, as I said, I believe he did 9 – Towers Productions, and this was the point where Franco was landing some big names, such as Christopher Lee, Jack Palance, you know, some very big stars at the time. And with 99 Women, again, this is kind of the dawn of the traditional women in prison, modern women in prison flick. And it's funny because a lot of people have said, like, it would have been interesting to see what Franco would have done if he had kept the relationship with the Towers, which fell apart on their Count Dracula film, which kind of was like panned in a lot of ways. But then I feel like that film's gained momentum over the years. I guess with the critics, unfortunately, at the time, they didn't think it was the faithful adaptation that they were advertising it as. But they almost worked again on an Emmanuel film that Joe D'Amato got. But unfortunately,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, because again, we're getting into some of the sleazier films. But just back to 99 Women. You're not going to get the bump and grind that you might expect from a Franco women in prison flick. Again, may not be the best place to start unless you're just like a purist that really wants to jump in.
I think it's a solid enough film that it could be, because some people might be thrown off in some of the later ones. Like, all right, here's a bad shot. This one kind of like isn't like that level yet.
Don't we all love bad shots?
I'm not okay. See, Dan, there are other opinions other than yours. I'm saying, for a beginner, that might throw them off. This kind of eases them in.
Like anal. Just the tip.
Exactly. Well, Maria Rahm eased it in for me. So.
Which one did you watch first, Bugs? I didn't even ask that.
99 Women.
Okay.
I was like, that seems like a problem, so let's just get this one out of the way.
98 too many. Some days 99.
The gays have it easy.
Now they need to re-release it on 4K and just do the "and a bitch ain't one" edition. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. That's actually really fucking clever. And
you know, that joke keeps coming about, but you know, it's like 99 problems and a bitch ain't one, right?
He's replacing.
Yeah, I know. God damn it, Todd. You got to like shit on every joke I tell. It's 99. They get this.
It's a bad joke just because it's the number.
God damn it, Todd. No, son.
Maria Rahm.
There you honestly, go.
I found a new like fucking crush because she was fucking hot. She stole the show for me. Like, I know everything that's going on is pretty goddamn cool, but like, had everything sucked, I still would have been okay with this movie. My focal point, fucking hot.
There you go. Yeah, I'm glad. I wasn't too sure because again, I thought maybe you guys would want a little harder action. But having said that, this is much better made than a lot of women in prison films.
We got some brutal shit. So yeah, there was like a gang rape type thing. Yeah. Anyway, rape. I enjoy that in movies. So, yay.
Yeah, it has all the hallmarks of a good women in prison flick. And God, how have we not talked about Herbert Loam, another star that Franco worked with?
Talking about Maria Rahm.
Well, you could have had a shot. She died, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, I think.
Get a shovel. Get a shovel. You still got one.
Fucking Otis Firefly. I still would. It's still good. Yeah, she is.
Still juicy. But, yeah, I love everything about this movie. Again, it is a good – it's a good place to start, in my opinion, but just know what you're getting into.
You just said it wasn't.
For the sleaze freaks, though.
Well, you know what I mean? Freaks, they're pretty much already going to know, you know, where to go.
This is where I started. Like, it's happenstance. You didn't even recommend which one to start with, so
I'm the type of guy that likes to go in order, but others may not care. I know some people.
That's the thing he should have said to us. You notice with the ones I picked, I used the year so you could figure out which order they went in.
Well, see, I've already been told like maybe I should have gone from like the first film. You have to understand there are some Franco films you can't see still. There's a lot on DVD and Blu-ray, but there are still some you can't see.
I'm against the beginning to end with the Franco stuff only because the end is going to be rough. Mixing them up is going to help.
Really? It doesn't get better over time?
Well, no, the very end when they're like, he's filming him in his apartment.
Oh.
They're still you still get the vag zooms. I mean, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But, yes. So, yeah, I loved it. I love the kind of unique downbeat nature of the film. It's a good time. And with, at the time, you know, some A-list actors that I think really elevate things. Are we doing star reviews for these films?
I mean, this is your baby, not ours.
It is going to be tough because I know with Franco it's going to be confusing.
Well, we can just give our opinions if it's worth checking out.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that because I will say, being a fanatic, Franco is an acquired taste. Not everybody's going to love him. I have friends in the cult cinema community that maybe like a few of his flicks but think he's kind of overrated, and then I have some that worship him like a god. So, yes, I recommend this. I think it's a really good movie and well worth checking out from the Towers era of Jess Franco. Now, speaking of sleaze, we have a new another film.
I guess we didn't get
to. I was like, Todd,
better. All right, go ahead, Dan. No, we don't matter.
Give your opinions. Speak.
No, you already enjoyed us. Go ahead. Armwire dolls. Get started.
God damn it. I thought you were done.
All right. Go ahead. We didn't.
Maria Rahm.
Maria Rahm. What'd you think of her?
I can't say that. Well, I can't say that here. Every hole's getting filled. You should watch this movie.
Yeah, I'm with this one. It's a good now. Also, for the record, there is another version. We watched the unrated director's cut. There is the French cut, which inserts hardcore footage.
That's a good
Maria
one.
Rahm, I'm about to get pissed.
No,
it's inserts from other people.
Pretend. I can pretend. Yeah, in my continuity.
That's not her butthole. God damn it.
But for the first time, I definitely say you go with this cut.
Yes, and I strongly agree with that because they are very random inserts that feel like they don't fit. And it's not, no pun intended. They're not fooling anybody with them. I mean, even back then, you're not, you know, just if you know film, it's like, oh, okay, well, this is just, yeah. Yeah, it's not Maria Rahm's not sucking any dicks, Pug. So I actually prefer the regular version, to be honest, in this one. So all right. Yeah, it just doesn't, I don't know, it's just like random, not the best looking porn footage like put in there, and it's just you know, yeah. So our next film for the evening, definitely getting into the sleazy Erwin C. Dietrich produced side of Jess Franco, and that is Barbed Wire Dolls. From the fevered minds of maverick exploitation filmmaker Jess Franco and notorious Swiss genre movie producer Erwin C. Dietrich comes Barbed Wire Dolls, one of the most outrageous entries in the women in prison film canon. In it, Franco favorite and lifelong muse Lena Romay stars as the wide-eyed Maria, an unfortunate young woman who kills her father, played by Franco, in self-defense after he attempts to rape her. She is tried, sentenced, and shipped off to what is perhaps the grisliest, greasiest, and most depraved women's penitentiary in screen history, where at the hands, fingers, and fists of the psychotic lesbian warden Monica Swin, she and her fellow inmates are subjected to an endless onslaught of perverse psychological and sexual abuse. Graphic sex, sapphic erotica, copious amounts of female nudity, and offensively staged scenes of genital humiliation are the order of the day in this sleazy Franco masterpiece that is offset by a romantic, evocative score by composer Peter Baumgartner and Franco regular Daniel White. All right, so I should say, for people looking for these films, Barbed Wire Dolls was put out on Blu-ray not a year ago or so from Full Moon. You can get it at fullmoondirect.com or Amazon or what have you. It was also part of the Erwin Dietrich Goya line that are also region free. Unfortunately, a lot of the extras are not. So this one's probably one of the easier ones to get.
And they're also all out of print also.
The Goya ones, you mean?
Yeah. And okay. The extras are not, they are region free. They're just in PAL.
Yeah, it depends. It's.
Well, some, no, but. You can't have a disc that is part region free. It's region free. The extras are just in PAL.
Okay.
So some players will play them somewhat. So that is a good, you know, warning.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right. So.
Well, once again, I have one of my stupid interruptions that I like to do. Bill Hader. What the fuck's he doing in this movie? And how did he get so angry? You guys saw that, right? Is that like his dad or like an old relative?
Right. Well, I have something on one of the other ones. So that's the next show.
Okay. Well, Mark, let me tag you in first. Let's get Cherry Popper opinion first on Barbed Wire Dolls, because I'm curious. This I think it's, I know what you
mean, minus but, 2 points for not having Pamela Anderson already.
She's what, like six? I don't know.
Could have played somebody.
You're fucked up.
I know. Ask away, sir.
Well, what did you think in general? Like, is this?
Well, again, it had pretty women being beaten up a little bit, and I'm all for that. I was entertained. It's not the greatest thing I've ever watched, but I didn't feel like I wasted my time, and I am intrigued to see more. I think I did like 99 Women better, but the abuse seemed more real here, so I kind of dug that.
Yeah, this was a huge hit on 42nd Street. It really was. And a lot of Franco films have a ton of different titles. I want to say the 42nd Street title was Dolls Behind Bars, but it was an interesting time for Jess Franco, because prior to this, he was kind of on the outs in a lot of ways. You know, the Towers relationship had come to an end. He had his own production company called Manacoa Pictures, which hadn't really exploded. He had like three unfinished movies that he had, like Silence of the Tomb, that was shot in 1972, and I don't think it came out till 76. He had Sinister Eyes of Dr. Orloff, which was, I believe, shot in 73, and that didn't even come out till 78. So he was having a lot of production issues leading up to the Irwin-Dietrich relationship. And Dietrich was a titan in erotic film in Europe, particularly in the 70s. So it was kind of new life for Franco. And, you know, with Irwin, who also directed films, kind of wanting to focus more on the business side, Jess Franco sort of became his go-to guy. And Barbed Wire Dolls is probably one of the most famous collaborations that they had. And this movie, I fucking love this movie. Monica Swin, who plays the villain, I think Warden's not the Ward, Wardess, I guess, is technically what I think she was referred to, if I'm not mistaken. She was a nasty, nasty villain, and she took it a little bit further than in 99 Women. She was basically like Todd with the vagina, pretty close. A vagina and a monocle. Other than that, like, they're basically the same person. You know you are dealing with a truly warped mind when you the role you choose to play in the movie is the father of your, I guess at the time, girlfriend, who you were molesting.
<You know? laughs> See, he keeps winning me over.
Not only that, but you play it for laughs. You put like the attempted rape in like slow motion. It's like, oh, let me reach for a titty, and then she's like knocking the hand, and then it's like,
it makes it easier to digest. Yeah.
It does. It needed like the Benny Hill theme, like where he's just like balls out chasing her. It's like,
and if this is the way you need to exercise those demons, if you feel like molesting your kid, this is how you do it. Don't actually fucking do it.
There, that's a public service announcement from.
You're here to hear first, folks.
Oh man, that's fucked up. Yeah, this one brings the sleaze. This is a nasty, nasty movie. There's also some triple X action in here. There's some triple X bean flicking going on in this one. Well, when you're seeing fingers, you know, like diddling, I mean,
they're only fanning it up before OnlyFans was a thing.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a double X.
I want to call it, like, this movie should have been called, they should have done a sequel and just called it Lady Weinstein's Revenge.
would have been pretty cool.
It's not as...
Hold on. How do we still not have a porn parody of the Weinstein case?
Ooh.
I'm ready.
Right. I think we have to make it.
Yeah, Dan, you can play Harvey. I just want to see your scene with fucking Lupita Nyong'o.
So does Dan.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to call her people. And
what are we going to call her people, Dan? Easy.
Her representation. Her agent.
Her what?
Her agent.
I thought he said reparations.
I was hearing something else, too.
God damn it. So you do see the trademark Franco Beaver Zoom here. You get a lot of torture. Lena gets anally violated at one point. I think it was a switch. I don't know what you would call it. It's an ugly film. It's not as gory. Like, I've read articles about how, like, gory this film is. Not really gory, but it's definitely depraved. You know, there's some electric torture going on. In prison movies, there's a lot of, really, to make it work, there has to be interesting sort of personalities within the prison, and I think there are here. And you kind of got the weird voyeuristic cuck doctor that I thought was interesting in this. And so Todd, I know you love this one, but give your opinion.
I actually do, but I'm actually with Pugs. I actually prefer 99 Women more.
That shocks me. That's a real shock.
Why?
Because you're a pervert, and I would think you want more graphic.
I'm not a Dan pervert, though.
You are a Todd pervert, sir. There's only one kind like you.
I like how straight-faced that was, because you're a pervert.
You want to see me perv out? Wait till we review Female Vampire, because Lena, when she first comes into
the frame. Okay, save it, Dan.
Whoa.
We're not allowed to do that one. I already banned it.
Oh, no, that one's going to be a naughty show. It's going to be on the Vampire Show.
What'd I tell you, Dan? All right, Pugs, what did you think?
It was fucking fun. Fucking cool. Yeah. I did like the more aggressive like abuse. That just felt more real here, but I still can't get over it. Bill Hader with the lookalike. Like, these movies so far haven't been my favorite thing to watch, but I've enjoyed watching them at least for some minor thing or, you know, just something that keeps me entertained. So I don't hate it, I love it, but
have you ever used the line "touch your sex" to a girl? I feel like that's got to be.
No, I haven't.
That has to happen now.
It's got to happen when the governor is just like, you know, "touch your sex." Interesting way of. Interesting way of doing it, but yes, no, I mean, and like I said. The scene with Jess and Lena is, I mean, so inappropriate and so hilarious. This is definitely Franco at his sleaziest.
It's Frankiest.
There you go. It is Frankiest. And I highly recommend this one. It's a nasty, ugly, at times funny film. And one of the for me personally, I think one of the best villainous performances from Monica Swin, I don't know. I just love that you're basically the warden, and you go around with this like monocle and these booty shorts. I just fucking, I don't know. I love that. And again, typical with Franco, when you listen to these shows, he always had beautiful locations. The exteriors were shot at Fort Carr, a 16th century fort just outside Antibes, France, I believe. And this was a huge, huge hit. It played on in the U.S. As late as 1983 on a double bill with Reno de Silvestro's Women in Cell Block 7. So this one had a very long life. And was a huge hit. So, once again, highly, highly recommended for sleaze fans.
Todd, is this where you got the bed frame idea from?
No, it's not. That's subconsciously. I don't know. Good point. Now it's time for the controversial discussion. So, hold on. All right. I don't know, what are we calling it? We got that. Wait, one more.
It's a lot. Yes, this has been known.
Greta, that's the one I know.
Well, Ilsa, the wicked warden, is kind of like what I've always called it. I don't know. But Ilsa the Mad Butcher, Wanda the Wicked Warden.
I don't know which poster we're using. All right, so we're just going to go with this one then. All right, there we go.
There we go. So, all right, so this film is from, of course, again, Jess Franco. And, all right, we'll get into it. I'll read the synopsis first, though. Now a vicious warden, runs a mental hospital for young women. A girl deliberately checks into the hospital to find out what has happened to her sister, who was committed there. Meanwhile, Ilsa and one of the guards are forcing the inmates to have sex with the male prisoners, filming them and selling it as snuff films. All right, so just to get into this a little bit.
Lock me up.
I concur. So to get into this a little bit, it's a little bit confusing because, again, she is in fact not Ilsa in this. Obviously, it's still Diane Thorne, and we also have an Ilsa show coming to Patreon. But the character's name is Greta, and this was not made as an Ilsa film.
Here's where I'm going to disagree.
Let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me finish, and then I'll let you report. So it was shot and released in Germany and Switzerland as Greta, the House Without Men, I believe. Again, if I'm ever wrong on the title, I apologize, but I believe I'm correct that that was the first one. And it was really only through U.S. distribution that the Ilsa connection was made. Now, it totally makes sense to sell the film. Ilsa was a massive hit, and many people, which we'll see when we get to our Ilsa show, but many people kind of like this one better than the Ilsa sequels. But yes, it was not an official Ilsa film.
But you can say that about most of the Ilsa films in general. But literally the first word out of the producer's mouth is, this was an Ilsa film, if you watch the extras on the Blu-ray disc. First words out of his mouth.
Yes, but it was not originally made as one. And she's not...
No. That's where you're wrong. It originally was, but they didn't pay to do it. Like, that's what it was supposed to be. If you listen to the producer, he says it was. It wasn't called that to the first time until the US home video. But it was always an Ilsa film.
All right. I kind of disagree here. And number one, actually, some of those contradict each other. Franco and Dietrich contradict each other on some different things. But it really is not. And here's my thing that I keep coming back to. Not Ilsa. She is Greta.
Tell him. I would have called it Prison Massage Parlor because that fucking massage scene, I was like, man, I can use one of those.
Yeah. But that's like Blood Diner and Blood Feast. It wanted to be, it just couldn't do it. So
I never fail to get a giant boner from the massage scene when Lena's on top of her. That is that is very boner inducing.
I argued to put this on the Ilsa show and do it all the way through, but Dan was like, no, it's not really an Ilsa film. But
it's not.
But you could, if you watch the later ones.
I'm about to destroy your argument.
Okay,
let's hear it. Right to it.
Is Zombie 2 a sequel to Dawn of the Dead? Because they certainly were trying
That's
to.
That's not the same thing.
Boom.
He just said he just screwed me, and I said it wasn't the same thing.
It is the same thing.
Okay, because Ken Foray was in Zombie 2 doing the same shit he did in Dawn of the Dead.
Would that make it a sequel?
Boom!
If they had Ken Foray fighting a fucking shark.
It was done. That was it. You nailed it, but you didn't.
I did nail it. It is not an Ilsa film. Plus, we can't break up the Franker show anyways.
It's not other than the fact the producer says it's an Ilsa film.
Patrick still lives. Patrick Still Lives was basically an illegal film. It's not.
Yeah. Really, I'll tell you what. Everyone on Patreon, chime in. Where do you put it? Where does it lie? Is it an Ilsa film? Is it not? I personally have no dog in this fight. Call it Ilsa, call it Greta, call it Greta Ilsa. Fuck, it was cool.
and it gets extra confusing with the Ilsa films anyways, because the timeline never really adds up in those either. But she is Ilsa.
Yeah.
It's not the same Ilsa. It's just a different one every fucking time.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really, but still.
And the third one is the Tigress that was retitled, or same thing as this one, but it's considered official.
Well, she's Ilsa, though. God damn it.
They never say her name in that one if you pay attention.
I could be wrong on that, but I do believe that they do refer to her as Ilsa at least one point. But I could be wrong. I'm not 100%. I want to say she might have been referred to as Ilsa.
I'm going to let that part argument go because you are not an Ilsa expert. You're not claimed to be one. But the argument is makeable that it is or it isn't part of the franchise.
And I'm still sticking with it is not.
I'm giving him halfway, but he can't even do that. I mean, the producer, Dead.
But so, all right.
I met him halfway, but then he had his shit on me.
All right. Well, it's okay. It's okay. I will say this is certainly in the tone. Again, it's the same. It's Diane Thorne. Rest in peace, by the way. Just passed away earlier this year. But yes. So this one was kind of coming at the time. Erwin Dietrich kind of had a tight reign over Franco in a lot of ways, but he started to get some more freedom at some point because of the success Jack the Ripper and was kind of loosening the reins on him quite a bit. Erwin was not a big fan of barbed wire dolls and felt it kind of lacked a certain polish, but was very, very impressed with some of his subsequent work. And I absolutely love this one because, again, Lena is great as a villain here. There's the notorious wipe my culo scene. This one. I especially like when the girl, like, after it was all done, it's like, come on, it wasn't that bad.
That was a good time. I did like that scene.
There's always a little bit of like strange humor in these things, and it's also pretty nasty. The massage film, as hot as it was, you know, the needles and everything, which kind of is comparable to Texas Chainsaw Massacre in a way, because as sadistic as it is, you don't actually see, you know, needles. Or anything, but yeah, this film checks every box. It's got the erotic content. It's got a great villainess, two great villainess from Diane Thorne and Lena Romay, some moments of dubbing that are pretty funny, like when they're watering the girl down and they're just like, we're washing away the crab nest. I love this movie. I'm an absolute fanatic. So Todd, what did you think of Greta?
I've always been a fan of this one. I saw it with the original, you know, watching the Ilsa series. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how to say it. I definitely am a fan of this one. Since we're not really talking. See, it throws me off without being the Ilsa thing, because I was going to say.
You can compare it if you want. I disagree, but if you want to consider it one, put it up against the Ilsa films. Like, where does it rank?
Then I kind of want to save that for the Ilsa show. That's where I'm kind of stuck. Out of the three tonight, this is probably my favorite of the bunch. It's one of the pioneers of the women in prison genre. I'm a fan of this one.
Just think, it came out at the same time as Star Wars did. I kind of wonder if Jabba had Carrie Fisher wash his culo. Might have been a better movie if we got that scene. You know, use that little like creature.
I can't argue that, because that would be fucking hysterical.
It would be that little fucking creature thing, just to like kind of like, you know.
And now you know why they. And now you know why they cut out Jabba the Hutt in Star Wars.
There you go.
He was originally on 2 feet, and he wasn't that, you know, big slug thing. Yes. I'm with Todd on this. This was my favorite of the night, minus my girl Maria Rom. So I wish she was in here, but you know, you can't have everything. But yeah, this movie was brutal. Bunch of knockers, can't knock that but down. So my interest is peaked in these prison films, especially for this one. I really got nothing to say except I want to see more, and I totally forgot that Diane Thorne passed away this year, and I just got bummed out because I just became a big fan. Like, yeah, I totally get it now.
We'll probably talk about it on the next show, but we can say it here too.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We'll come back to it on the Ilsa show.
Yes, because I do actually have an interesting tidbit that, actually kind of fits into this one. But, of course, the Ilsa films were a huge hit. I mean, Don Edmonds had, you know, a huge hit. But since this, I will save it. I guess it's kind of more Ilsa than to do with this. But there was actually an Ilsa film that was almost made. That would have been very interesting. So I highly, highly fucking recommend this. This movie is a lot of fun. It's a great, another great, I think this or Barbed Wire Dolls are safe bets to jump in, as long as obviously you're not offended by the material. And
I'd say go with this one first.
I can't argue with you. It's probably a good bet. I would say Barbed Wire Dolls possibly too.
But when you say that, I mean, me and Pugs both went with 99 Women over it. So,
which shocks me. I'm that's interesting.
I know, because if it's a different thought than yours, you're gonna cover it.
I can't. You know, it's hard to rank.
Rom. it's as easy as that.
But yeah, there you go. And I should actually say, Diane Thorne was one of many that complained about Franco. She had a Gore Zone interview back in 1991 where she said Franco kept the... No. He never me-too'd anybody. He kept the camera rolling and got some more explicit shots of her.
Close camera? Franco,
the tour.
Yeah.
The tour is for. There's some beaver. Some
which was really kind of fucked up if you think about it.
Hey, but different time.
She took it in strides. Like, well, that's just movies.
There you go. It's just a vagina. So yes. This will be the first of many Franco shows. We hope you enjoyed it. And we're going to have a lot of themes. I know we'll have a couple vampire shows. We're mixing around films, and there may come a certain point where it's harder to get them in an exact theme, but I am currently trying. So this won't be the last. And you guys here on Patreon, keep supporting us. It only starts at a dollar, so check it out. And well, if you are on Patreon, I think you already know a lot of this, but be sure to follow us on Twitter. That's right. I am on Twitter now. I'm currently figuring it out. So are Todd and Pugs. And of course, you can add the Flesh Wound Radio Twitter. Follow it. I guess Twitter's a follow thing, so do that.
Stalk us on all social media platforms.
He'll get it eventually.
On all social media platforms. And of course, if you haven't joined Horror Cartel Flesh Wound Radio Facebook group, join it. Also, we'll like
give the you Flesh a header. Wound.
There you go. We'll give you a header. And we will also, you can also like the Flesh Wound Features Facebook page as well. Also Flesh Wound Features on YouTube. Like and subscribe if you haven't. Like every video. We really appreciate it. That makes us more visible because we're still new on YouTube. So we're YouTube virgins and very much appreciate it. We will see you here next time. Be sure to listen to our Ilsa show, also coming to Patreon. Goodbye, guys.
Good night.
Good night. Naughty.